Now, we're going to have shortly news from China and Japan, but let's sort of get ourselves into the mood with a song which is called Monster on Space Research, and it's by the researchers at JAXA. And this was created by the scientists and researchers and staff and graduate students at JAXA's Sagamihara campus. Sounds actually observed in space are also used as sound effects. It's based on the music of Sakonnection. And this is done by the people at the Sagamihara campus creative outreach team. And it's all about the Japanese science space missions. The main vocalist is Yumi Enokidani, backed by the Sagamihara Music Club. Let's take a listen to Monster on Space Research.
ここに残しておきたいんだよこの秘密を 未来から過去順々食べる何十回も噛みつぶし溶けたならのもう淡々と知る知ればまた触れ落ちる昨日までの本当順々と知る 散る散れば次の実花びらは過去単純に切る怪獣された土時ひそひそと咲こう
recorded last year, the JAXA researchers from Japan. And we played that because we don't have any Chinese ones related to space on hand. Now, on July the 6th, the China National Space Administration announced that its Tianwen 2 probe has arrived at asteroid 469-219, Kamo-Oaliwa. What is unusual about this asteroid is that it is regarded by some as Earth's second moon. Now, it's not a true moon. Rather, it is a quasi-satellite. It traces lazy corkscrews around the Earth while actually orbiting the Sun in near lockstep with the Earth. It was discovered in 2016 by the Pan-STARRS telescope in Hawaii. Its name comes from a Hawaiian chant and means oscillating celestial fragment. And certainly that's what it is. Now, early photographs taken by Tianwen 2 from a distance of 20 kilometers away reveal a house-sized body tumbling once every 28 minutes. That means it is probably a solid object. If it were a rubble pile just held loosely by gravity, it would have long since fragmented due to the rapid spin. Now, the asteroid, as seen in the pictures, is angular and not spherical or potato-shaped like many other asteroids. There is a debate among scientists as to its origins. Some believe it is a piece of the moon blasted into space by the impact that dug the lunar crater Giordano Bruno. Others argue it wandered in from the asteroid belt. Well, that argument could soon be settled. The China Space Agency plans to bring Tianwen 2 closer to Kamo-Oaliwa and spend several months circling it while scouting out a possible sampling site using cameras and radar. Because of the rapid spin, getting a sample will not be easy. Now, Tianwen 2 will try three different techniques. Number one, a touch-and-go, like was done with NASA's OSIRIS-REx at the asteroid Bennu. Secondly, a hover and scoop using a robotic arm. And thirdly, an anchor attach and, say that again, an anchor and attach maneuver that would fasten Tianwen 2 directly to the rock's surface. Now, this was the method that failed to attach the European Space Agency's Philae lander on comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko some years ago. So there's no guarantee that any of these three techniques will actually work. The plan is to leave Kamo-Oaliwa on April the 24th next year and to drop its sample capsule into Earth's atmosphere in late November. Tianwen 2 will perform a collision avoidance maneuver so it doesn't hit the Earth and cruise past the Earth, using its gravity to sling it towards comet 311P Pan-STARRS. So there's a future ahead for it there. Now, I think we can go to some announcements, and then we'll have about the Japanese Hayabusa 2 craft.
From Bayside, Melbourne, this is 88.3 Southern FM.
And you're listening to The Space Show, presented by Andrew and Richard. Last week, the Japanese spacecraft Hayabusa 2 flew past the asteroid Torifune and sent back images. Now, it was launched in 2014, December of that year, just before Christmas. Now, Hayabusa 2 had previously gone to asteroid Ryugu, dropped three rovers on its surface, collected samples and returned to Earth, dropped its sample to parachute down into the Woomera rocket range in South Australia, then continued back into space. By July 5, Hayabusa was 100 million kilometers from Earth and was rapidly closing in on asteroid Torifune. The flyby speed was 5.3 kilometers per second. Whoa, that's moving. The images show that Torifune is bilobal, shaped a little like a peanut shell. It is about 400 meters long, and that indicates that it's two asteroids which have become stuck together. In addition to visible light images, Hayabusa 2 used its mid-infrared camera to measure the asteroid's surface temperatures, thermal inertia, and surface roughness. Now, Torifune orbits the Sun every 383 days, which compares to the Earth's 365 days. And it rotates on its axis once every 5 hours. Now, Torifune was discovered in 2001 and is named for a deity in Japanese mythology. On its five-year journey towards the asteroid, Hayabusa 2 made observations of the zodiacal light and, believe it or not, of exoplanets. Not quite sure how it managed to do that. Next target for Hayabusa 2 is the 11-meter diameter asteroid 1998 KY26. And when it gets there in 2031, it may attempt to land on this minuscule world. So why, you might ask, people going off to asteroids after all? And NASA's done it, JAXA's done it, the China Space Agency's done it now. Well, this is about the science from asteroid sample return missions, and it's based on a paper of the same title, which was published in this year in the journal Contemporary Physics. This comes courtesy of JAXA.
To date, we have brought back three samples from asteroids. These grains are being studied around the world to explore the types of material that would have formed our planets. These asteroid sample return missions represent some of the most technically demanding robotic exploration attempted by humanity. Yes, really. Images from Earth are unable to resolve an asteroid's surface, so sample return missions must be designed with very little knowledge about the tiny world that they are visiting. The risky landing operation must be autonomous due to long interplanetary communication times. The spacecraft must also return to Earth, greatly extending the length of the mission, and the collected sample must be protected both from the intense heat during atmospheric entry and from contamination from the Earth's very enthusiastic chemical and biological melting pot. Moreover, each of the sample return missions faced major challenges. Shortly after launch, Hayabusa was hit by the largest solar flare in recorded history, damaging the spacecraft. Hayabusa 2 arrived at asteroid Ryugu to find a surface so boulder-strewn and rugged that there were no safe places to land. The team had to implement a new landing strategy to allow Hayabusa 2 to touch down with pinpoint precision. Meanwhile, OSIRIS-REx sank into asteroid Bennu during the sample collection and was almost eaten by the asteroid. Given the difficulty of these missions, why do we keep doing them? Meteorites are natural samples of asteroids delivered to Earth. However, it is very hard to match meteorites to asteroids as the data is so different. This makes it impossible to know how common these rock types are in the solar system, or any information about where they might have formed. The passage through the Earth's atmosphere from space is also very destructive, with softer material never making it to the ground. The Earth also rapidly contaminates meteorites, preventing us from examining the pristine rock that formed in space. Let's look at a few of the science highlights from each mission. When Hayabusa arrived at asteroid Itokawa, it discovered a loose rubble pile rather than a monolithic body. This was the first direct evidence of rubble pile asteroids. The rubble pile structure tells us that Itokawa was once part of a larger celestial body. The sample revealed minerals altered by heat, indicating that Itokawa's parent body had experienced high temperatures of up to 800 Celsius. The sample matched LL chondrite meteorites, providing the first direct evidence between S-type asteroids like Itokawa and a meteorite type. A major collision shattered the parent body, and Itokawa coalesced from the fragmented rubble. The shape suggests two smaller bodies may have formed orbiting one another before joining to create the head and tail of this otter-shaped asteroid. Over time, Itokawa's surface reddened due to an effect called space weathering, caused by the bombardment from micrometeorite impacts, the solar wind streaming from the sun, and cosmic rays. This was the first time such surface changes had been observed on an asteroid. The sample from asteroid Ryugu was a close match to CI chondrite meteorites, thought to be pristine, unchanged, material from the earliest days of the solar system. CI chondrite meteorites are incredibly rare, but C-type asteroids like Ryugu are very common. Our atmosphere must burn up this soft rock, letting only the rarer but harder rocks reach the ground. Tiny inclusions of carbonated water in the sample indicated that Ryugu formed far from the sun in the planet-forming disk, where water and carbon dioxide could be accreted as solid ice. Ryugu then moved inwards towards the forming terrestrial planets. The sample is rich in hydrated minerals and organics that must have formed in water as the ice melted, including many key molecules needed for life. Could asteroids like Ryugu have kick-started life on Earth? Ryugu is now too small to support liquid water. Like Itokawa, it must have been part of a larger body that fragmented during a giant collision and formed another rubble pile asteroid. Over time, Ryugu's surface reddened due to space weathering. This dehydrated the asteroid's outer layer, hiding the water-rich minerals and organic molecules from observations. How many other asteroids are wearing weathered cloaks and just pretending to be dry? Want a quick way to tell the difference between Hayabusa and Hayabusa 2? Hayabusa has a single parabolic antenna. Hayabusa 2 has two flat antennas, which enable high-volume data transmission. Asteroid Bennu is a potentially hazardous asteroid, which might collide with the Earth in the future. Analysis of the asteroid's structure and trajectory refined the cumulative chance of an impact to just 1 in 1,750 through to the year 2300. The Bennu sample was found to be ammonia-rich, suggesting it also formed a long way from the Sun, where ammonia could freeze to be accreted as ice. The asteroid also once had liquid water, which produced a wealth of organics, including many of those needed for life to begin. The sample contains evidence of salty brines, created as water evaporated when Bennu moved towards the inner solar system. Brines are seen on icy worlds like Ceres and Enceladus, suggesting a similar composition to Bennu. Could these worlds also include the organics needed for life? As with Ryugu, Bennu is too small to support liquid water. It is another rubble pile, formed from a fragment of a larger water-hosting parent. It is not impossible that Ryugu and Bennu might be fragments of the same parent body, despite slightly different compositions. Space weathering on Bennu has turned the asteroid's surface more blue rather than red. This could be a later stage of space weathering and makes the effects hard to predict. Hayabusa 2 returned to deep space after delivering the sample from Ryugu to Earth. The spacecraft will fly by asteroid Torofuni this July and try to get the first proper look at this asteroid. Launching in fiscal year 2026, the JAXA Martian Moons Exploration Mission, MMX, will visit Mars's two moons, Phobos and Deimos, and returned a sample to Earth from the inner moon, Phobos. OSIRIS-REx also began an extended mission to rendezvous with asteroid Apophis, which will make a close approach to the Earth in 2029. The spacecraft will be joined by JAXA's Destiny Plus mission and the ESA-JAXA-RAMESIS mission. Together, the missions would explore how a planet's gravity affects an asteroid, guarding against a time we must protect our existence from the same celestial bodies that may have begun it.
And thanks to JAXA for that feature explaining why they are going to the small bodies of the solar system. Now, we've just got time, I think, to squeeze in the Green 4 boys. That G-R, lowercase E, 4-N-B-O-Y-Z. In 2025, they recorded Flash of Light, which is about the Hayabusa 2 mission. And the singers are actually a group of four dentists. One dentist is more than enough for me, but four dentists. Here we go. On the space show, that was Flash of Light about Hayabusa mission.